Hello again, and welcome to another episode of Quick Question with Soren and Daniel, the podcast where two best friends and comedy writers drop so many cues that even Kathy Hyatt couldn't miss them. I am one half of this podcast, and I am, among other things, looking forward to explaining that reference, Daniel O'Brien, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Soren Bowie. Soren, say hello.
Hello, everybody. I'm Soren Bowie. I'm a writer for American Dad and the current driver of a rental car for the next 3 weeks. I don't know what that reference is, Dan.
So Kathy Hyatt is one of the main characters, one of the only two speaking characters in the off-Broadway musical, turned Broadway musical, turned movie musical the last 5 years. And she has one song where she talks about who she's not going to be. She's not going to be pushing babies and beer nuts and missing the cues. So what I said is that we're going to drop so many cues that even Kathy Hyatt couldn't miss them. So the cues that she is talking about is C-U-E-S. Like, there are so many cues that her life isn't going the way that she wants it to go.
Oh.
As she's just like, she doesn't want to end up as just somebody more important's wife. And she promises she's not going to be the person who's like standing in the sidelines to someone else's life, missing the cues. And what I did, we dropped so many cues as in questions like Q&A. And there's so many of them that even she wouldn't miss them. So it's it's both a deep cut reference and a homonym joke.
Yeah.
Okay.
Completely ungettable by anyone that's not reading it on a page and familiar with Broadway.
Yeah.
Yeah. I, for one, am driving a rental car because I got in a car accident.
Holy shit.
Yes. I got sideswiped. Everybody's okay. No big deal. But I was picking up my son from school. I got sideswiped. And there's a lot of, like, the entire side of my car is damaged with dents and things like that and paint transfers. We pull over, and the woman was very apologetic. She was very sorry that she'd pulled in that lane without looking. And then my son started talking, and I went over to his door and I said, it'll just be a second. He wanted to get out and see it. And I was like, no, because it's on the same side as the road. And as soon as she saw that I also had a child in the car, she started to cry.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I was like, no, it's okay. Like, these things just happen. Insurance will take care of all of it. We'll just exchange insurances. We're going to be fine. Then, true to my word, insurance was great. Insurance, there was like, okay, well, here's what you're going to do. You're going to take that car to this body shop. And you're going to this one because it's only half a mile away from an Enterprise. You can either have them come to you, or you can get to go to them, and you'll get your rental car for free. And went there at the Enterprise. They were like, okay, here's the deal. We've only got a Nissan Altima. And I was like, let me stop you right there. It literally does not matter what kind of car you get. It does, as long as it drives.
Right. I know this is not a forever situation.
Yeah, there's no status that I need to continue to meet out in the world right now.
Right, as if you're going to be like, Nissan Altima, okay, well, what colors does it come in? thanks, but no thanks, we're walking.
Yeah. I'll take town cars, I guess. It couldn't have been easier. Obviously, I haven't paid anything yet, mm-hmm. and that will, my tune may change then, but if insurance for some reason doesn't cover it. But I think it might have been like her first accident. She was so frightened. And I remember feeling that way when I was younger and had gotten into accidents. And I was just like, I don't know how to impart to you that everything's going to be okay. Yeah, I mean, it was your fault, but yeah. Everything's going to be fine.
How old was she?
Let's see, 96 was her birthday on her license. Are you going to make me do that?
No, absolutely not.
Thank you.
But we're both sitting here trying our best, aren't we?
I was like, okay, 21. She's 25.
Okay. My brain went to like, okay, she's over 20, because 2016. But then that's when it gets tricky.
Yeah, it's not nice round numbers. I'm just at a loss. And then there was like a little subtraction that was involved, and I was like, oh, okay, well, yeah. I'll need a calculator for that.
Yeah. Thanks to Hello Tushy for supporting Quick Question. Hello Tushy is a sleek bidet attachment that clips onto your toilet and sprays your butt clean with fresh water. And we have a special offer for our listeners. Go to hellotushy.com/QQ for 10% off. Well, I'm glad that you and Ronan are safe. Was he... So he wanted to see the damage. Did he... I haven't been in a major car accident, but any time that I've been bumped even a little bit, it's louder than you expect it to be, especially when you look at the damage afterwards, and you can feel it more than you thought you would. So was that an exciting roller coaster experience for him, or is that scary? Okay.
No, he was pumped from the first collision. Like, he was so excited to know what had happened, what we just ran over, because he thought we ran over something. And then when he found out that it was we had been in an accident, he wanted to see the other person very badly. He wanted to see the side of the car. Like, it was so exciting to him.
That's good. That's cool.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, shit. I guess we can get into the show. Oh, you know what we haven't done in a bit is COVID check-in. Just like a general.
Yeah, let's call that my COVID one. But I'm curious to hear what you're up to, because we haven't really talked much. Do you have any COVID news?
I don't really have any COVID news. A thing that I noticed recently is I'm surprised that I'll still have COVID mood swings about it, because I generally feel like I've got this new lifestyle under control. I like having, like, I get a schedule and I stick to it. It's like, okay, you wake up and it's COVID. You take your dog out. You brush your teeth. You have breakfast. You have your coffee. You work. You take breaks. You work some more. You eat your meals. You take your dog out. Exercise if you can. Now it's dinner time. And now you're going to watch a movie. And, like, I don't know. I've just been incredibly zen about it for, like, a month and a half now, I suppose. Just like, this is the situation that you're in, and I'm what is known as a non-essential worker, so it's going to be a while before I get vaccines, and that's fine. Like, everything that happens is sort of like, this is fine. It sucks, but it's fine. Deal with it. And I really thought I had things under control. But every once in a while, you'll just have one of those mornings where it's like, if I have to sit and watch another fucking movie on this fucking couch, then I'm gonna lose it. And it's tough, because you don't know what day you're gonna wake up with. And normally I don't. Normally, like, there's so many times where it's like, I'm gonna watch a movie that's new, that just came out. The Little Things. Ah, just came out. Exciting. Or I'm gonna watch something that didn't just come out, but I've never seen before. Or I'm gonna watch something that I have seen before, and just like, let's watch Shutter Island again and appreciate that. And then there are certain other days where just like, I've watched everything that has ever been made. And if anyone suggests something new to me, I'm going to fucking snap, because I don't want it. I'm done with this. I'm done with COVID right now.
Yeah.
And it's a bummer to find out that you're human after all.
I was talking to coworkers on a Zoom about like what we were going to do when we're done with COVID. And I was like, telling them how excited I was to go to a dine-in theater. And I was like, I can't wait till I could do that again. I just want to, like, in the middle of the day, for a matinee, by myself, go to a dine-in theater, get some curly fries and maybe some tacos or something there, and watch something terrible. Doesn't that sound great? And everyone in the call was like, no, why do you want to watch something that's not great? And then I was like, oh, I don't know. I had to think about it. And then I started, like, thinking about it the rest of the day, and I was like, oh, what I really miss is having expendable time that's just mine. Like, time that's so expendable that if I could waste it on a bad movie and not even care.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at this point, with children and everything, and because you're home with them all the time, you have to really allot your time, especially your own free time. It has to be, you have to dedicate it to something good. Like, right now I'm out on script, so I'm going to be writing during that time. And if I don't use that time, I'll feel terrible about myself. But having that free time to myself where I wasn't accountable for anything, and it was just my time, and I could waste it, mm-hmm. like that I was allowed to just waste my time, was like, oh, that's like a wet dream.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think of wasting my time. I mean, I certainly waste plenty of time when I have all of my freedoms, but like, dumb things that I end up missing, like, oh, I just wish I could go to a fucking gym again. I do?
Yeah.
and
You're surprising yourself with
feel like me.
yeah. I want to go to a DSW and not buy anything. I just want to like go to a store like and wander there. I want to end up there. I don't want to have that be part of my plan for the day, which is like the littlest bit of freedom that I still feel is late at night when I go to watch a movie. I don't have a plan for what I'm going to watch. And that's the most exciting thing to me, is that I can just go look through stuff and be like, I don't know, this Korean one sounds interesting. Let's do it. I don't know. Well,
it's good that you can still be excited about watching movies. Yeah. I think if it's not over soon, then I become part of that, like, that senseless mob that just decides it's over. Because I'm normally okay. I'm normally very, very zen and like resigned to like, I'm an adult. This is what we have to do right now. It's just every once in a while, something will switch in my brain that is like, no, I want to see that shitty Monster Hunter movie in a theater.
Yeah.
I know it's going to be bad, but I need to get out and see it. And I feel like if sweet, brilliant Dr. Fauci with his quiet voice, if he comes out and very calmly explains to us like adults, it's like, so we found out this new strain and it's even worse and it means another year of this, but the good news is we're all prepared for a year of this because we've done it. And I'll be like, no, I'm not prepared anymore. It's a hoax. I switch sides now.
Yeah, watching those people who fight in grocery stores, or like they just go out and continue to go to bars or spring break and things like that, enjoy their summers in Mexico. Of course I'm mad at them because they're being reckless and they're potentially hurting other people, but I'm also mad at them because I'm not allowed to do it, and I'm so jealous. So jealous of somebody who is that reckless and doesn't care. Because they can continue to live their life. And if they don't get it, and the world is just unfair, and I spent all this time putting my life on pause so that we could, for the benefit of society, and there are these motherfuckers who are just stretching that time out, I'm so jealous of them.
Right. Like, if there's a year from now, and everything is back to not normal, because it'll be like 7 years before the world is back to normal, if it ever gets that way. But normal in the sense that, like, everything is open. And life resembles what it looked like a year and a half ago from now. If a year from now we were at that point and I'm like out on a trip somewhere and I'm at a restaurant and there's live music and there's dancing and there's people and you're meeting strangers, I really wonder what it's going to do to my brain if I am talking to a stranger and I'm like, oh man, that was crazy. A whole year where we all just stayed inside. Someone was like, oh yeah, I made the news because I went to spring break in Florida. Crazy, right? And I'd be like, no, we can't. We're not both allowed to be here. We can't both end up in the same future. You're supposed to be punished.
You should surely be on a ventilator right now. Doesn't seem fair. Hey everyone, I want to tell you about a new podcast we think you're really going to love called Things You Don't Need to Know. The show is hosted by Ari Kagan, a self-described nobody that a studio really gambled on. Every episode, he searches for answers to questions you never even thought to ask. Things like, what does it take to invent a food? Is it possible to beat the house at a casino and not get your head squished in a vice in the back room, like in the movie Casino? In the following clip, we find young Ari attempting to sell his soul. And I'm not being metaphorical. He's literally trying to sell his soul. Will he succeed in selling his soul? What's the resale value on something like that? Is this how he got this ad spot in the first place? Listen to Things You Don't Need to Know anywhere you get your podcasts.
The list of celebrities who have reportedly sold their soul to the devil includes David Bowie, Mick Jagger, John Lennon, Lil Uzi, Kanye West, and anyone else who's displayed significant skill and talked of demons. And it's through these stories that the legend continues. In my research, I found a majority of people who sold their souls work in entertainment. Could selling your soul be an allegory for anything more than the devil himself? No, absolutely not. So knowing this, I will try to sell my soul under the condition that I'm an atheist, and that if the devil appears, I will prove myself wrong and not do the deal because if the devil is real, God must also be real, and therefore I've completed the greatest piece of journalism ever, get a raise, and won't need to sell my soul. Genius plan, I know. So I grabbed my kazoo and headed out to the nearest crossroads.
All right, I've been out here for about 20 minutes now. About 5 minutes ago, some dude walked by with one of those, like, I think it's called a scythe. But he was just a farmer cutting down some wheat. So, no sign of the devil. Not surprised. Disappointed, but not surprised.
So I went home, and I tried the other demon conjuring things.
Demon, I summon thee. Satan, I summon thee in exchange. I have a very good soul.
Give you my soul in exchange for years of being able to play the kazoo properly.
Accept this soul in exchange for...
None of these things worked. I was kind of running out of hope on selling my soul to the devil. There was only one last thing to try.
My name is Dex Desjardins. My first participation in the Satanic Temple was as co-founder of the Albany, New York chapter.
So you're the guy who can help me sell my soul.
Well, Dan, yeah. Do you want to get into the show?
No, I want to see Monster Hunter.
I know. I know you do, buddy. And you wait a little bit longer. I feel like August. I feel like you're going to be able to do it in August.
But is Monster Hunter starring Mila Jovovich going to still be in theaters in August?
There are still signs up for Sonic the Hedgehog movie at my local theater. So I think you're going to be safe. Why don't I go first here, Dan? I got a quick question for you.
Yeah, I'm clearly going through something. You should go ahead.
This is actually not even my question. This is a question that Gabe Harder brought to us that I think is a really, really great one. Have you ever been swept up in a craze? You know, given the current climate, have you yourself...
I've got COVID fever.
Have you yourself ever been swept up in a craze and now you're out on the outside of your, you know, you've returned to zero? On the other side and been like, ooh, that was crazy.
Yeah, several times, because I'm a huge mark.
Oh, I figured, yeah. God, you're just so trusting of people. Mm-hmm. And very excited to just change your life.
yeah. And I think the way that I grew up was also, like, tailor-made for this kind of thing where... Grew up in New Jersey, and every summer we would vacation in a different part of New Jersey called Wildwood, which was a beach town. And there was a boardwalk with rides and stands where you play games, you try to win things, and there were arcades, and there were little restaurants and cotton candy. It's very, like, gun to your head, draw a picture of New Jersey summers in the 90s. It's perfect that. I loved every bit of it growing up. And when I got into... I guess middle school and maybe a little bit indefensibly older than middle school, there was always the thing of the summer, and I needed it. It was always whatever was the thing that was in the most stands on the boardwalk, the most, like, the most common prize, the most basic common prize. My brain clued into the fact that was like, okay, this is the thing. This is the thing of the summer. This is the trendy thing of the summer, and I need it. I couldn't articulate why I needed it or what kind of enjoyment I would get out of it, but it was like Wildwood has decided that this is the trend of the summer, and I'm going to spend my entire week's vacation and whatever money I have on trying to win these fucking things. Instead of, like, diversifying that money and having more fun with it, it was like, I'm going to get it. And let me tell you what these things are, Soren.
Yes.
One year it was a forgotten year that no one likes to talk about, but certainly in New Jersey and possibly elsewhere, there was a summer where everyone wore Dr. Seuss hats.
What?
Did that not make it to you?
No, like Cat in the Hat hats?
Yeah, those tall hats. The tall striped hats. They had them, like, in all different colors.
Like the kind Mystery wears when he goes out hunting women?
Absolutely.
Oh, God.
But made by 14-year-old exchange students who were spending their summer at Wildwood learning basic English and even more basic conning. So they would stitch these, they'd get these felt Cat in the Hat hats all stitched up, and then take my $2 to try to for me to try to win them. I was desperate to get these fucking hats, and that was 1 year. Another year was impossibly those Big Mouth Billy Basses that you'd hang on the wall and they would sing.
Yeah.
And another year was those tiny bikes. Do you know what I mean when I say tiny bikes? Other than like you can
ones?
Like, nope. You can context clues will tell you that it's like a bike but smaller. But I wouldn't know any other way to, like put a name brand to it. But it's these mini bikes for adults somehow. Like you would ride it. Like a clown bike. Yeah, like Homer Simpson when he's Krusty the Clown in that one episode that does that famous trick where the bike keeps getting smaller until he's a clown riding a very tiny bike. It was those bikes, and that was like, this is the thing that Wildwood has determined is cool. So like the Cat in the Hat, and like that singing fish, it's my destiny to get this thing.
I think the context I have for that hat thing maybe is in Friends. At one point, they go to England and Joey buys a British flag hat that maybe is a little bit similar. It's like a Mad Hatter hat almost.
No, like I don't want to tell you it's something that it's not. It's the Dr. Seuss hat.
Let me check.
See, I can't be objective here because I started typing doctor into Google. And it autofilled Dr. Seuss hats fashion 90s because I've done this before.
Enormous hat trend. Here it is. Oh, these suck so bad. Oh, they've got a big dent in them. Oh, my God. Oh, they're so hideous, too. That's hilarious. No, that never made it to me. And here's the thing. I would go to Ocean City in the summers. Like, I was susceptible to a lot of the same thing at the same age where I would, like, bucket hats were the thing. And I would be like, gotta get a bucket hat. Everybody has got bucket hats. It was, like, the first time I was plugged into a city, it felt like to me. So I was like, this is where trends were born, as far as I was concerned, was this dry city in New Jersey. And so I would just go there and, like, clue into what people were on and be like, okay, we're doing tank tops? Okay, I could do a tank top. Oh, we're doing graphic tees. Protect your nuts, they say. Okay, I could get one of those.
Puka shell necklace, you got it.
Yeah, Ofimo, those clay bracelets. Of course.
Okay, you could see at least one character wearing one of these striped Dr. Seuss hats in Clueless.
Okay, yes. Yeah. Now, I don't think you can be faulted for this. We're at a very impressionable age where, like, that the most important thing to you is fitting in and being one of the,
and it's like,
the crew.
It's Wildwood. So it's like outside of like my neighborhood Kohl's or Kmart. It's like Wildwood is like, oh, this is like people come here. This is a destination place. This is where real shit happens. This is the outside world. And it's also like
I've always said Wildwood is a cultural hub.
Everyone says that, not just you.
It's a meeting of minds, and people from all over the world come there.
Yeah, it's like those Renaissance salons, you know, when like they would all just like, like artists and scientists and athletes just getting together and swapping expertise. It was also, I think, like the idea of summer always came with some degree of reinvention for possibly everyone, certainly kids who didn't feel like they'd found themselves or like had like slotted into a real identity yet. Was like, I'm gonna go away this summer, like all the way 2 hours south of home, and when I'm gonna show up back to school and I will have figured it out, and this singing fish is gonna get me there, god damn it.
It was always, I would go there to see all my cousins on my mom's side, and I had several, and some of them were girls as well, so it was a nice like safe way to crash test a new personality type. Like a new thing that you were going to wear from now on to see if it was cool and it was playing. I did a lot of the same stuff, Dan. You'd go there and you'd be like, well, maybe I'm this now. maybe I'm a singing bass guy. That's a good one.
And it wasn't. I never did figure out a personality.
Let me ask you this, Dan. Are you familiar with these words when I say them? 976 or... Senate.
Spell Senate. Is it the way it's that I would expect it to way. Be spelled?
Yeah, but it's a backwards S and it's in a Superman symbol. No, none of these are clicking for you.
976. No. Yeah.
All these are rollerblade terms, Dan. These are rollerblade brands that I lived for. You know about my illustrious career in rollerblading and how I almost made it to the top.
Sure.
Rollerblading, I thought, was my career path when I was 10, probably. Mm-hmm. Probably like 10 to 12, 13 even.
Yeah.
And my summers were consumed by rollerblading. And it was right in the middle of the rollerblading craze. It was when everybody went nuts for it.
I loved rollerblading.
Everybody in the world had bought rollerblades. And then there was like a evolution to it where people were not only just getting rollerblades, they were getting like skates. They were getting K2 skates that had grind plates already built into them. Grind plates are for grinding on handrails or for on... If you're not quite that bold like me, just curbs that you waxed or bike rails.
This is a teachable moment for me. You needed specific things to be able to grind?
Yes.
Oh, that's why I couldn't fucking do it.
Yes.
That makes so much sense.
You needed grind plates. They were either metal or they were plastic. And they fit in between your two middle wheels. And your wheels had to be a little smaller, too. You can't have just, like, hockey skates because nothing can fit in between those wheels. You need
Man,
like,
I thought it was, like, all other sports, and I was just, like, not designed for it. I lost a lot of good shins trying to grind on curbs.
Yeah, you needed grind plates. And it consumed so much of my life that my friend Ed and I, we would get we would get these rollerblading magazines with Randy Roadhouse in them, who was like the youngest skater. And we idolized him. He skated for Senate, which was the premier skate brand. And this, they don't even sell skates, rollerblades or anything. They just sold the clothing and we were way into Senate. All of our gear was Senate. 976 was like mid-tier. Then there were a few lower as well. But we would specifically go buy pants that were way too big and cut out the bottoms of them and then duct tape the bottoms or hem the bottoms so that they fit around your skate. Kind of Susian, actually.
Yeah, hell yeah.
The way that they looked. They looked very silly on us, like big clown pants. And skating was like, that was every single summer and into December. We weren't getting a lot of snow in my town, it was so exciting because it meant that we could spend that winter skating a little bit longer. And there was a ramp in town, like a big quarter pipe in town. No, three quarters pipe. So it was like half pipe in both directions. Mm-hmm. And we would spend hours just waiting up there after a rainstorm for the bottom of it to dry, just sitting there on the ledge, not talking, just waiting for it all to dry so that we could skate it. And I was so on board with rollerblading to the point where like skateboarders the entire time, they knew the deal. They were like, this fucking sucks. This thing you guys are doing is stupid. And I was wholeheartedly defending rollerblading as like, this is the next thing. This is snowboarding, you dummies. Like, give it up. Give up the skateboard. This is the future.
And you were, so you mentioned that you wanted this to be your career. So you were like, you were learning tricks.
Yeah.
I imagine, because like my relationship to rollerblading was very different. I also loved it. I would play street hockey with buddies, but really my main interest in rollerblading was purely this is faster than walking to get where I want to go. Like I would just travel with rollerblades everywhere. I was like, that was their function to me. It wasn't doing tricks or looking cool. It was just like, this is the fastest way for me to get from point A to point B until I'm allowed a car.
That sounds like a very healthy relationship to rollerblading and not my experience at all.
I don't think there were many others like me. I think most people were like only using them for hockey or doing tricks and trying to get good at them. No one was like, all right, bye mom. I'm going to be gone for now. I'm just going to rollerblade in circles for a while and then I'll be home.
I couldn't do it at my house because I lived in a log cabin out in the woods and there's no pavement or anything on those roads. So I would have my parents drive me into town and I would spend the entire day in town without like a home base necessarily that I could go to or even thinking about lunch or anything. I would just go over to the middle school where I knew that there were some ramps set up. There was a thing called a fun box, which is a a wooden box that has a coping on one side, just a rail coping, so you can work on grinding. Mm-hmm. And then there was the big three quarters pipe. And I would just spend all day there trying to like get good, trying to be as good as Randy Roadhouse. And then like within a year, I was like, no, rollerblading sucks. I never even rollerbladed. I wasn't one of those guys. So stupid. So dumb, right, guys? Ah.
It's the a thing like that that I got swept up in that felt immediately stupid afterwards, similarly, was like Pokemon cards. Because I didn't really watch Pokemon as the show or play the video game, but like everyone had Pokemon cards one year, so I just got them and then would go to friends' houses and play whatever the rules of Pokemon cards are that I must have learned at the time, but like that's completely lost on my brain. But it was a strange several months that this was a thing that was really important to me until it immediately wasn't. And I was like, that was stupid. Why the fuck did we do that? Why did we all care about that? It really felt like we'd been brainwashed for 3 months.
Yeah. I never got into Pokemon, but I did get into Pogs in the same way where I was like, at the end, I was like, what the fuck are all these? What have I been doing?
Yeah, just like looking at a huge box full of Pogs or Pokemon cards, like, now, was my plan to sell these? Was this an investment? What did I do?
The long game here.
I have like a custom sleeve for my Pogs. Who am I?
It was a crazy time, Dan. I had, some people would even get smaller wheels for the middle of their skates to make grinding even easier.
That's when you mention like Senate and 976, like these clothing companies where they weren't making skates, they were just like adjacent to skates, just like brands that sold the kind of clothing that people who were into skates would wear. That's very familiar to me and something that I don't know if it still happens, because it's very 90s to me that a trend would emerge and then that somehow sprouted like three adjacent businesses around it, where it was like people are into skateboards and if you are, you have to buy these kinds of shirts and these kinds of hats, and also we're now selling these little like pocket skateboards that you can do tricks with your fingers, right. And then 9 months to a year from now, all of these shops will disappear and it'll be like it'll be a town once when the mill shuts down, and it's like, oh no, all the businesses are gone. Did that work?
Yeah, no, it totally makes sense. It's like it's a boom for a little while and then it just like the whole thing dries up and everyone's almost embarrassed that they were involved in it. I shouldn't even say almost embarrassed, of course we're all embarrassed.
Yeah.
But I thought for sure that was like gonna be my life. I was like, I show real proficiency at this, and like clearly the trend isn't going anywhere. This is who I am from now on. Fuck school, I'm a skater.
Did you tell your parents that you are a skater and you want to be a skater when you grow up?
Yeah, I think I did. I think I told them, because when I would ask for things around skating, it's not super cheap, and they were like, why? What? Do you really need another set of grind plates? Yeah, look, do you want this to be my career or not? This is something I'm taking seriously.
Good for them. Good for your parents and my parents that when I was like, there's nothing more important to me in the world than Pokemon cards or this singing fish. And they're just like, okay, he's passionate. Let him play it out. Something's got to stick.
Skating coincided also with like the bowling shirt look, where it was like a zip up collared mm-hmm. t-shirt that had just two stripes down the front. In a way that I think I like they're married in my mind, in a way that they can't be divorced, where like that if you own one of those shirts, you could see somebody else at school and be like, oh shit, you skate? Oh, we gotta go skate. Oh, I know the best curb. Oh, over by the Cowan Center, there's this great curb.
I imagine skating for me was actually like a nice reveal for my parents. I don't know if this is true. It just seems like a thing that might be true. Because I would disappear every night one summer for like 2 hours where I would just say, I'm going skating. And I wasn't like meeting, I wasn't saying I'm going to go skate with Chris or anything. Or I wasn't going anywhere to do tricks. As far as they knew,
was like, I'm going skating. And then 2 hours later, I'd come home sweaty with skates. And most of it was just like, honestly, I'm skating around the block in circles, thinking my thoughts, sometimes listening to music. But really, the thing that I was doing that I thought was a real coup was I was going to a girl's house and I would sit in her driveway and talk to her for a while. And then I would skate home. And I imagine my parents, I feel like they must have at some point tailed me. And what a relief that must have been. Because it's like, he just disappears for 2 hours every night, skating. And like, I hope he's not doing drugs or something like that. Maybe he is. But worse than doing drugs, I hope he's not just honestly skating. Because that's weird. That's weirder than drugs. And then if they tailed me and saw like, oh, he's going to talk to a cute girl? Oh, thank God. That's fucking great. We thought he was weird. This is good. He's not like sneaking around in the shadows. He's just like earnestly sitting in a driveway talking to a girl. Good. All right. We can relax.
That's great.
New rear, new you. In 2021, don't just make a commitment to wash your hands every time you poop. Go the extra mile and wash your butt. The future of toileting has arrived, Soren. Okay, it's technically been around for centuries, but hideously expensive, costing thousands. But now the brand new Hello Tushy 3.0 modern bidet attachment is here to level the playing field. It's stylish, eco-friendly, easy to install, and affordable. Hello Tushy 3.0 doesn't just cleanse your butt with a precise stream of fresh water. It cleans itself before and after it's used with the Smart Spray automatically self-cleaning nozzle. It attaches to your existing toilet, no need to buy a second toilet, and requires no electricity or additional plumbing. And it cuts toilet paper use by 80%, so the Hello Tushy bidet pays for itself in a few months. Because with Hello Tushy, you don't wipe at all. Just poop, you know that part. Spray, dry, and go. Sanitation is simple. The Schmutz Shield offers easy cleaning, and the knobs are naturally antimicrobial. Plus, every Hello Tushy bidet attachment comes with a 60-day risk-free guarantee and a 12-month warranty. Holy cats! Do you already have a tush on your pot?
I do.
Upgrade to the new 3.0 model. If you're new to the revolution, join millions and millions of happy Hello Tushy customers right now and have a clean butt with every flush. I look forward to pooping with my Hello Tushy. It's great because I genuinely think wiping is gross. It's something for the longest time I thought, shouldn't science be farther ahead on this by now? Why are we still wiping? And it turns out science was ahead, but I was behind. And now Hello Tushy is behind me and my behind. And they clean my butt, which is good. Toilet paper, did you know? It's ruining the environment. The average person uses 57 sheets of toilet paper a day. And every roll of toilet paper requires 37 gallons of water to be made. A bidet only uses, on average, a pint of water. Stop wiping and start washing. Go to hellotushy.com/QQ to get 10% off plus free shipping. Wow, this is a special offer for our listeners. Go to hellotushy.com/QQ for 10% off. hellotushy.com/QQ. I got a quick question for you.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I do. Is there a luxury that you experienced, because neither of us are luxurious people by nature. Is there something that you experienced that you were glad you didn't immediately become accustomed to? Because I guess the best way to get into it is with specific examples. Like, I, through the show that I work for, when we went to the Emmys, we flew first class. That's like part of our contracts, thanks to the Writers Guild of America. Thank you, Guild. Thank you, unions. We're going to the Emmys, so we have to fly first class. I never in my life would have paid for my own first class ticket. That's just a luxury that I'm never going to spend. I've looked at those ticket prices and like, there's no way that's in the cards for me. I was as excited as I was to fly first class on someone else's dollar. There was a part of me that was like,
what if this really is much better? What if it's like, like,
how do like, I go back?
Yeah, what if it's like finding out that I'm that I thought I saw color before, but I didn't. I'd only seen three different colors, and now I'm seeing the whole spectrum. How will I go back? And I was so happy. Like, it is, it's definitely nicer in every way imaginable, but it's not life-changing nice. And I was so happy. I was like, oh, thank God. I was worried that I was going to have to get a credit card so I could do this again, but I don't have to. I'm fine with normal plane seats.
Yeah. God, that is a scary moment. I've never ever flown first class in my entire life.
Oh, you gotta.
The intrigue is always there for me. In the same way that the clubs are, where you go to the airport and there's like the Admiral's Club, and I'm like, what the fuck is in there?
Right.
That's a lot of money people are paying. There's got to be something great in there.
And it's called Admiral's Club. Yeah. It's so cool.
Yeah, I imagine it's great. Hear stories. I hear only whisperings that echo down the chamber of the airplane.
It is. I have a similar luxury that it might be a game changer for me. I don't know. It's again something that I only experienced because it was not. It was like a gift again, either from the show or HBO for something. But it was Uggs slippers. And like I've gotten slippers before at Target for $12. That's how much slippers are supposed to cost. And I put them on my stupid ass feet and I walk around in them and I'm like, yeah, this is like, I get it. I understand slipper culture. They're not quite shoes. I'm not going anywhere. They keep my feet toasty. Fine. They fall apart after a few months and I'll get another pair for $12. Then I got fancy person slippers from Uggs that are expensive because they're a gift. And I still thought, like, yeah, I'm going to get them because they're a gift. I'm going to pick out the ones that I want. Whatever. I wasn't expecting much. And as soon as I put them on, it's like, oh, shit. Things are different now. These slippers are $135, and I feel it. I feel that the cost makes them better.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do now. I hope they never wear down on me, because I can't be I'm not prepared to be a person who like regularly buys $135 slippers.
Right.
I can't, but I don't know if I can wear $12 slippers again. And that's the dilemma.
It's scary to see the value in a thing that you haven't been using for a while. I definitely have one. There's a luxury item that I've never taken advantage of, and that's massages. I've never had a professional massage, and I mean,
never?
People rave about them. Never. People rave about them. They talk about how relaxed it makes them feel. I've had therapeutic massage. I've had for like PT, but I've never just had like gone to a spa somewhere and gotten a massage. And I'm thankful that I haven't, because I think that if I did feel it, I'd be like, oh, I have to do this now. This is just a thing where I'm going to crave it. I'm going to, anytime I'm tense, I'm going to know this exists and I'm going to want it. I don't feel like I have back trouble at all. There's no point do I ever feel like my spine is out of alignment or that I get like particularly those knots in my back or anything. So I don't feel like I need it, but I just never did it when I was younger. It never really appealed to me, the idea of it. And now that I'm an older gentleman, I've never in my life had a massage and don't crave it.
But you are worried that, like, so what if I got you as your birthday gift this year?
Yeah.
If I just got you a gift certificate for a spa in Santa Monica that I know is very good.
And COVID doesn't exist.
Yeah. That's the other part of the present that I got you.
You buried the lead on my present. I mean, I guess I'd have to go. I would be worried in the same way, though. I'd be worried in the same way that you were for first class, that I was like, right now, I don't know that this is something that I want, and I'm happy about that.
Is there something that, like, an upgrade that did make the cut into your life?
Yeah, I mean, lots of things. Getting a car where I can actually talk on the phone inside my car.
Sure.
That kind of a computer. Yeah. Like a computer inside my car was certainly one of them, where I was like, oh, I see. Life is way better now. I can tell how far a gas station is just by asking my car. in general, I think that that's the reason I'm worried is because it happens so frequently where like I upgrade some element and I'm like, ah, shit, this is way better. And now I have to do this forever. Another one for me is coffee. I never enjoyed coffee. And as a result, I never got into, I never became one of those people who knows the difference between good coffee and bad coffee, or that Starbucks is doing a new thing, or that oh, they've got different seasonal options that you can add to your coffees. Like, none of that shit has ever mattered whatsoever to my life. And it's just freed up so much space for me.
Yeah. It's, I've felt that way with, like the times that I've had very nice scotch. 'Cause like, you can tell the difference between like Johnny Walker Blue, which is a very expensive scotch, or I don't even know, very like a fairly expensive scotch, and like Laphroaig, which is another expensive scotch, versus like what you're going to get as a normal person. And I remember being at like Montreal Just for Last Festival, where they have open bars everywhere, and my brother and I getting Johnny Walker Blue for the first time and tasting it and being like, it's definitely different. It's definitely better. I'm so happy knowing that I never have to spend $30 for a shot of this to find out that it's not worth it. This is such great news for me.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. So like, it boils down to with these luxuries that there are some that are just like a drug that's, as soon as you try it, you're like, ooh, this is really nice. I get why it's better. I never have to do it again. And then some that are like heroin, where the minute you get it, you're like, well, I'm addicted. I don't have a choice now. And now that I know this exists, like, this is just part of my life. It's scary. It's a real gamble to try new things.
I'm quietly terrified all the time that I'll find my way into an incredibly comfortable bed, because I've been searching for a comfortable bed for like a good bed situation for all of my adult life, and I'm like fine sleeping on whatever I've slept on. I can sleep on most things, but I'm terrified that like I'll be staying somewhere else and land in a bed, and it'll be the best sleep I've ever had, and it'll, and like, oh, this is what sleep is supposed to feel like. And then I'll do the research on what made this bed happen, and it'll price me right out of it. But like,
and then you're chasing that dragon.
I've got that taste. Yeah. I would look at that cost and be like, okay, I need the mattress and the box spring and a mattress topper. Okay, this year for Christmas, I'll get the mattress topper. And then like, and then next year I'll get these special blankets. And then by 2028, it looks like I'll be able to recreate this bed experience.
You just, your hands and your hips being like, okay, well, what is it in my life that I can lose? Like, what can I give up so that this can be my new thing? What is my expense right now? Yeah.
Okay, we're going to wrap things up now. I have to track down the social accounts. They're actually right in front of me, but I don't have my glasses, so I have to go get my glasses, and then I can I really should have them memorized at this point, or I should have my glasses with me, but you know, time makes fools of us all. While I'm tracking those down, I'm gonna have Soren fill that space. Hey Soren, why do you think I'm still single?
I think you already know the answer to this, Dan. I think that you, as a, in any sort of relationship, you're with a woman or in a friendship, you give all of yourself. You are a very kind person. You're very nice, and you will do anything to be more accommodating to this other person. And it's almost an affront when they aren't doing that too. Because you have given your entirety to this person. And when they're just like not doing that, and especially when they're being selfish, like, it's an abuse of the relationship. And I think you feel that from people immediately, and they become not good enough for you. And there are a lot of people, they're young, living their lives, and these are the women that you're encountering. They are at an age where they are still a little bit selfish, and like they want to do things that they want to do. And a lot of times what that means is that they're going to get very drunk at night. You are going to be do the very nice thing of like, all right, well, I will drive you home, or I will take you to my house. I will make you a meal. I'll help you feel better. You can sleep on my couch. And then they're not even appreciative of that afterwards. Mm-hmm. And I think that eats away inside of you.
You're saying when I pour all of my blood into a bucket and hand it to someone and they say, I didn't ask for this. And then I get mad. You're saying that's setting up unhealthy expectations for a relationship?
I do think that you are aging into a new caliber of people, a group of people who do the same thing, that they want that kind of reciprocal giving, and that the people will start to appreciate that more and more in this. I'd say like once you hit 32, 33, it starts to change.
Yeah. Well, thanks, man. It was always my goal to be a Freaks and Geeks, just like a beloved cult classic that people don't really appreciate until it's gone.
I hate to be your mom, honestly, because like she must see this. She must see like what a good person you are, and just feel so sad that there's not a single person out there who's good enough for her son.
Jesus. This has gone off the rails. We need to get into the social accounts. You can find me on Twitter at DOB_INC or Soren at Soren_LTD. You can email the show, which I just found out, Soren Checks, at QQWithSorenAndDaniel@gmail.com. We have a Twitter account for the show, twitter.com/QQ_SorenAndDan. We have an Instagram too, probably. We also have a Patreon, and we have some exciting news coming to that Patreon. We're changing things up a little bit on there, and we actually are going to have some things that are only exclusive to people who are supporters on Patreon, where we're going to be answering your questions directly. Look for those, I want to say monthly, but I'm not sure. But yeah, check it out and support us if you want to. If not, that's fine. You'll still be getting the regular show for free, as always. And you can find and hire our editor, engineer, producer, jack of all trades, Gabe at GabeHarder.com. He is fantastic. We love him. That's all I have to say, I think. We want everyone to know that we did meet up with our CFO business person. I'm checking right now. Yeah. We're not allowed to say that he's fine. Which is interesting. Normally in these situations, that's like the one thing that people do want to know, but we are not allowed. Okay. We saw him. He's
stable.
Don't go looking for him.
Oh God, don't. No.
Yeah, yeah.
He'll be fine.
Yeah.
I can't. Yeah. I'm finding out I can't legally say that.
Okay, yeah. Okay. His name is or was Bacon. Bye.
Bye.